influence,
the offer that's on the table, and third, a couple Easter questions for us. So first, influence. You may be aware that Time magazine every year puts out one of their editions, and they name the person of the year. Last year, no surprise, 2023, the person of the year was Taylor Swift, right? Of course. You may not be as familiar with a number of years ago, Time magazine did a special edition that ranked the top 100 influential people of all time, who's ever lived. They explained and how they used all these diverse sets of measurements to measure the rankings and how they dealt with the problem of comparing somebody that, like Aristotle, that lived a long time ago to comparing a contemporary person like Britney Spears, right? Like Aristotle, Britney Spears, who's more influential here? But they took account for that, of how to measure that, apparently. And when all was said and done, the number one most influential person who's ever lived, according to Time magazine, is Jesus. One person put it this way. Again, Time magazine, a secular source, and this is a secular author. He put it this way. He says, Socrates taught for 40 years. Plato taught for 50 years. Aristotle for 40. And Jesus for only 3. Yet the influence of Christ's 3-year ministry infinitely transcends the impact left by the combined 130 years of teaching from these men who are among the greatest philosophers of all antiquity. Jesus painted no pictures, yet some of the finest paintings of Raphael, Michelangelo, and Leonardo da Vinci received their inspiration from him. Jesus wrote no poetry, but Dante, Milton, and the scores of the world's greatest poets were inspired by him. Jesus composed no music, but Haydn, Handel, Beethoven, and Bach reached their highest perfection of melody in their hymns and symphonies they composed in his praise. Every sphere of human greatness has been enriched by this humble carpenter of Nazareth. Jesus's influence, it's unmatched. There's not a close second. Even a secular sources like Time magazine gets it right. But here's what I've come to learn. In popular culture, most people comfortably accept Jesus as a great teacher, as a moral exemplar, someone that we want to like point our kids to like hear the morals and values that Jesus taught. But what popular culture is less comfortable with is really the most important thing about him. Jesus, on the list of that 100 people of all time, Jesus is the only one who claimed to be God, who said, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to rise from the dead, and then my life I offer for other people to have life. We're comfortable. We'll put him as an influential person. We'll even put him at number one, right? I think Napoleon was number 2. Muhammad was number 3. Shakespeare was number 4. Abraham Lincoln 5. We'll even put him at number 1. But his influence, if he says we believe that we can have life, his influence because of the resurrection, dead people can live. That's what Easter's all about, which brings us to the second point, the offer that's before us, the offer that's on the table. You know, I want to get to it by sharing a story, a real story, something that really happened. I was a few years ago, I was taking a flight, and you know, everyone knows the experience when you board the plane and you're walking and you're kind of counting the rows to see who's the person I'm going to sit next to, and you're looking out and you're kind of like, oh darn, I got the middle seat. And then you look ahead, and as I was doing that, I saw the gentleman sitting there in the window seat. And as I approached and got closer and turned and put my bag up there and I saw his face, I had fun imagining what goes through the mind of a person the moment they realize they have to spend the next 2.5 hours sitting next to a priest. And not only that, the moment they realize that they have nowhere to run, okay? Unless they want to jump 35,000 feet. And the way he looked out the window, I think he thought about it, okay? And then in the conversation, as the conversation started, which he began, and it wasn't long into the flight, where his walls just came crashing down. And he proceeded to tell me how that he knows that he's failed as a husband, he's failed as a father, and that the things that he had done in his past and things that the habits that he currently has and the struggles and the vices that where he feels that he's just stuck, that he's told me, he says he's sure that if the plane went down, he knows that he'd go to hell. And at one point after he was sharing that, at one point I just turned to him and I saw his head hanging down, and I asked him if he would like to walk off the airplane this day a new man, changed. I asked him if he'd want to start and have a second chance. He said, boy, would I like that. And I proceeded to kind of lay out, presented him the gospel message, the Easter message. Laying that out, I turned to him and asked him if he would want me to hear his confession. And he said, what, here now on the airplane? I said, yeah, here now on the airplane. He proceeded to whisper into my ear this close for 30 minutes all the things that have been haunting him and chasing him for the last number of decades. And that man walked off the airplane that day a new man. He walked off the airplane resurrected. He walked off with life. He probably wouldn't have described himself as dead when he walked on the plane, but I tell you, during the course of the conversation, he knew he was dead, and he walked off alive. You know, and when I shared the gospel message with him, or the Easter message with that man, I share with you today, as I share with him, that the scriptures say in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. All. Like, that just puts us all here on level ground. You see that? Like, everyone's on level ground. All have sinned. It doesn't matter if you grew up in a household, right, where your parents, mom or dad, tucked you in at night every night and prayed with you and read you Bible stories, or you come from a home where you're still trying to deal with and cope with the brokenness and the harm that was caused at home. See, we're all on level ground. All have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. And a couple of chapters later, Paul says, and the wages of sin, all have sinned. The wages of sin is what? Death, he says. The offer that's on the table here for us, it's so badly needed, right? To prove that, just look at the Ten Commandments, right? It's not complicated stuff. Like, don't kill anyone, right? Don't steal. Another man shouldn't take another man's wife. And you might say, well, all right, like I'm doing pretty good there, 30%. Forget about the other seven, right? But 30%, that can get you in the Hall of Fame in baseball. I can bat 300 and you get in the Hall of Fame. Yet when Jesus comes then, he says, anybody who looks at another woman with lust commits adultery in his heart. Anybody who has hatred for another man has murdered. It's like, you don't hit 30%, you don't hit 20%, you don't hit 10%, you're at a zero. I'm at a zero. Like, we can't keep the law. That's why grace, that's why he came to die and to give his life. You know, you have to see that the problem is insolvable. Something that you can't do for yourself. That's right. In the first reading, Peter says, the day here on Easter, we hear the reading, Jesus, the one whom God sent, who was nailed to a tree, he says, who was crucified, so that everyone who believes in him will receive forgiveness of sins through his name. That's the offer on the table. That's the Easter, that's the gospel, that's the Easter message. That Jesus is alive and he offers you forgiveness of your sins. To start over, to leave here a new man, a new woman, to walk out of this church, just like that man walked off that plane that day, a new man. To reorientate your life, to put him who my heart was made for at the center of my life. See, I was and you were created to be in the presence of God. And nothing else, hear this, nothing else will satisfy the human soul. We were created to be in the presence of God, and nothing else will satisfy your soul. Nothing. And I don't know everyone in this church, right? I mean, of course, I don't know where you come from. I don't know the stuff that you're carrying. I don't even know the belief system that you've been going on, that you've had for the last number of 3 months or 6 months or 10 years. I don't know. But what I do know is that the offer that's on the table is for all of us. Which brings us to a couple Easter questions. First is, as I come in here today, what's his influence on my life? What's his influence on my life? Not just necessarily his moral teachings, and those are important, but I'm talking about what's the influence of his death and resurrection on your life? You see, because the next question that follows, right, when I ultimately know what it is that he's done for me, what he's rescued me from, the life that he offers me and that can give me, when I know what he's done, the question that ultimately comes for us here this morning is, have I responded? Because as I told that man, as I presented the gospel to him, and he heard his confession, ultimately before him getting off the plane, I told him, you know, on the plane, as I tell you here, the only way to respond at the end of the day is to give your life away. It's to die. See, that's what the culture just gets so backwards. The culture and everything we hear all the time is just make, just more you, more me, just more, more, more. And where this, and the gospel message is, no, you have to die. You have to give your life away. You had to say, my life is no longer my own. Now, Lord, come in and dwell in me. And I place you at the center of my life. I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. I'm trying to do this my own way. Jesus is the most influential person who's ever lived. There's not even a close second. Not lived. Lives. Christ is risen from the dead. Dying, he conquered death. To the dead, he has given life. Christ is truly risen. Alleluia. As I sit down here, we're going to take a couple minutes of silence. And what I encourage you to do, if you've heard at all, maybe the little knocking on your heart, in this minute or two of silence, just encourage you with your eyes closed to picture a table and an offer that's on the table for you. And just make a prayer and say, Lord, thank you for dying for me on the cross. I'm done trying on my own. I give you my life. I surrender my life to you. And then grant me the grace to reorientate my life as I leave here to put you first.